الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. There is a hadith which comes in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari in which he says or he narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there are two blessings that many people are deceived with regards to them, and ni'matani maghbunun fihi kathirun min an-nas. أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. And if you look at the Arabic word غبن, in financial law, one of the rights or options of return. For example, when a financial transaction occurs, they need have an offer of sale, and then you have an acceptance, and that finalizes a transaction. Right? Those are the two rukuns or the two pillars of a transaction to take place. But under certain conditions which can be applied in which the sale can be reversed, so to speak. For example, if a person were to stipulate that I have the right of return, what we in modern day call refund policy, right? It's called khiyar al-shart. Or, for example, you can have something which is called khiyar al-aib, which is the option to return on the basis of a defect. So there's different categories of conditions on which you have the option to return or cancel it out. And one of those things that you see that you can sort of reverse the sales transaction is what we call khiyar al-ghaban. Right? So we said, maghbun, you hear the ghaba in noon, those same letters in that. So what is ghaban? Ghaban, in a sense, is getting ripped off. Right? Ripped off. So no one likes to get ripped off, right? And even the people who, advertise, they know that people don't like to get ripped off, and they're so particular about that, they even say that if you find a lower price in the next 30 days, come back and we'll give you the difference. Why? Right? Because they understand that if a person feels that they got cheated or that they paid too much, even if it's a little bit, right? Even if it's $5, you weren't even ripped off, but even if you paid more than what you would have paid somewhere else, then they're not going to be a happy camper. But a lot of people get ripped off when it comes to the purchase of their own lives and what's important in their lives. So, and it's particularly, they get ripped off because of two reasons, or with regards to, in two categories. So what did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say those two categories are? He said, "As-sihhatu wal-faragh," أو كما قال, that he said that it is good health and it is free time. Now, I remember way back when I was a teenager, and when you're 16, you think you're invincible, right? I mean, I am never going to fall sick, and nothing can happen to me. And this is like a known, phenomena that even, that's written about in the field of psychology, this feeling of invincibility that teenagers or young individual or youth have, which actually increases their risk of carrying on high-risk behaviors, right? You don't see many 80-year-old grandmas driving 110 miles per hour on the high freeway. You just don't. Why? Right? Their high-risk behavior is like level... They don't even engage in low-risk behavior. Right? But you give the car first time the keys in the hands of a 16-year-old, he's going to see how fast his dad's Honda can make it from 0 to 60. Right? He just wants... he's going to rev it. He says, how fast can I make this 90-degree turn? Right? And he tries to... The car's tilting when they're making this turn. And he says, that was cool. Right? And then they feel happy that, I had a good time. So why? Right? Why? Because when you're young, you really feel that, nothing's going to happen to me. There's just this false sense of being safe. When the reality is, right, no one's really safe or healthy. Right? I mean, completely healthy in the sense that they can never fall sick. I mean, there's story after story after story. I mean, you guys know about this, right? About these athletes which are playing. These are athletes, right? They're trained, they're all this, and then they're playing, and on the court, they suddenly collapse in sudden death, right? Soccer player is running, and something happens, and they fall down in sudden death. So what's going on there? There's our young individuals. They're actually not only healthy, they're in the prime of their health, They're in the prime of their health. They're healthier than you and I. But if it's their time, then you can go at any time, right? Or if you're, I mean, so sometimes people have this false sense of security that everything in our body is perfect and it's running right and it has to run right and it's my right that it runs right, the right way. When that's not the case at all. If you just think about how many electrical signals are sent, right, every single day from your brain to the rest of the body, if you think how many, you know, red blood cells are carrying oxygen, how many chemical reactions are taking place in each and every single cell, red blood cell, it's, you know, carbonic anhydrase, and I mean, you're just shocked, right? That so many there's every possibility that something goes wrong, right? Even in every meiotic, you know, or mitotic replication, right? Your DNA repair mechanisms. There's billions of chances, right? Millions of chances for everything to go wrong, and you have millions and billions of cells. And there's every reason that one mutation can go in and it's going to knock you out, right? And that becomes clonal and you develop cancer. Who knows? Now, people say, oh, well, that's highly unlikely. Well, yeah, it might be highly unlikely if you look at a population, right? So you say, oh, it only happens in 1 in 100,000 people. But for the one person to whom it afflicts, it's 100%. Right? For that person, they're 100% sick. Right? Therefore, you can't say, why didn't it happen to my neighbors? It happened to you now. You can't do anything about it. So there's this, a person has to realize that this false sense of health or a false, you know, sense of security is really just a farce, right? It's a farce because it comes one day and it can leave one day. And you never know. There's, you know, recently I heard of, you know, a young individual, a Muslim, right, a kid, he was just sleeping. His brother comes down and tries to wake him. Right, and he says, oh, he's been sleeping a long time, and he's sort of mad at him. He's like, why are you sleeping so much or something, trying to wake him up, and they feel him and he's cold. Asleep. Young individual, right? Why? Allahu alim. Right? Allah knows best. But you know, this thing that we call health, it's such a precarious thing. It is such a precarious thing. And so, you know, when my father used to say, oh, you should take care of your health, or, you know, you might fall sick, and we just sort of, you know, write it off that, oh, I'm not going to fall sick. I mean, you just take your heart, for example, right? We don't even know how the heart beats or why it beats the way it does and how it spreads the signal. You know, the signal starts from the SA node and it, you know, tracks down through these tracks into the AV node and a special kinds of Purkinje fibers. And then hundreds of times, every hour, or thousands of times rather, you know, your heart normally beats between 60 to 100 times per minute. So not thousands, but 60 to 100 times per minute for normal individuals. That's happening like clockwork, right? It's happening like clockwork. Now what happens if, you know, that signal goes off and the heart starts beating erratically? And it can happen, right? And it does happen. Then our most vital organ is compromised. Right, and it's, believe you me, it's a very unsettling condition to be in when things go awry, when you think that, you know, you're impervious and you're invincible. And Allah just is teaching us that, hey, that's maybe not the case. That is not the case. So if we understand that this is something which is ephemeral and it's not something to be taken for granted, then everything that we look at, right, everything that we have in terms of our health, then we have to evaluate. The fact that you can see, that is a huge blessing. You know, a person, for example, came to one of the Salaf, from the righteous Salaf, I'm forgetting his name, I believe his name was Yunus, rahmatullah alayh. And he's sort of complaining to him, right, that, oh, you know, I don't have that many means and I'm in this difficult situation, so, or something like that. He was complaining about something in terms of, you know, monetary, perhaps, his monetary circumstances. So he says, do you have eyes with which to see? So he said, yes. He said, how much would you pay for those? And really, if you don't ask the person who doesn't have the ability to see, how much, what is the price of sight? Right? Everyone will say priceless. Right? The fact that you can, how much would you pay, for example, to see your son the day that he becomes a hafiz? Right? How much would you pay to see your daughter getting married? Right? How much would you pay to see your grandchild on the first day that they're born? How much would you pay, for example, when to see your mother's face one more time? One more time. Right? And there's some people that no matter how much money that they could ever earn, and if they were to earn the entire world over, they couldn't pay enough to get their sight back because it's gone. It's just a wish. How much would you pay to have a working hand? How much would you pay to have working legs? The fact that we can run down the street, right, freely, or bike, or swim, or climb a mountain and feel the breeze running against our face while we're, you know, just strolling. How much would you pay for that? All of those things are priceless. Right? All of those things are priceless. So whether you're old or whether you're young, right, whether you're very healthy or you're less healthy, understand that no matter what, the fact that you're alive, that means that you have some degree of health. And then whatever degree of health you have to take the most advantage of it. You don't want to get ripped off when it comes to health. Because what is the nature of getting ripped off? Right? You want to get the most out of that circumstance. Right? And when you don't get the most out of a circumstance, that's the fundamental philosophical underpinning for getting ripped off. Because in that sales transaction, you wanted to get the most out of it. Meaning the paying the least, getting the most. Right? So if you want to do the same thing in life, right, then in your health, if you want to maximize that situation, then you have to use whatever resources Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you while you have them. So if Allah gave us eyes and we have the ability to see, then use it in the right way. Because that's an opportunity. If you're not, then you're ripping yourself off. If you have legs and you have the ability to walk, then walk to the masjid, or else you're ripping yourself off. Right? If you have strength and you have you have strength in your arms, then go and clean up the masjid or do khidmah of the masjid or help other individuals before you don't have the ability to do that. Right? That's what it means to not get ripped off when it comes to your health. The second thing that a lot of people are ripped off with regards to is free time. Right? And when you are young, when you get to college, you look back in high school and you're like, I wonder how they kept us from 8 o'clock to 3 o'clock every single day. Right? What were we doing? Like, what were we doing with our life? Because in college, right, you have one class a day and then you have a couple of days off. And then what happens is then you get into the work world or you go to grad school and then you go back into college and you're like, man, I had so much time. I wonder I had so much time I didn't know what to do with my time. Right, and then you start getting older, and your children start getting older, and then you're like, man, when I first got married, I only had one kid. I had so much time on my hands. Now I have like no time. And people keep on thinking that as I go older, inshallah, I'm gonna get time later. Right, I'm gonna get time later. Let me tell you, I remember when we were in Zakaria, in South Africa, the masjid is sort of at the bottom of the hill, and then there's like a very steep slope, and then you walk up. So one time I was walking with the Shaykh al-Hadith over there, Mullah Sulaiman Choksi, is also the Khalifa of Shaykh Zulfikar. He used to teach us Muslim Sharif. And we were walking up, and it was it happened to be, I think, vacation time in the madrasa. Right? Vacation time or Ramadan time. So he is an amazing individual. May Allah bless him and preserve him. So we were walking up the hill, away from the masjid, and all the teachers, many of the teachers' homes were towards the top of the hill or the mountain. So we were walking up, and I said that, alhamdulillah, now, you'll actually have some time, right? Because now you're not teaching the whole day. You'll actually have some time. And he said something which was really profound. He said that, after a certain point in your life, he said in Urdu, "Mashghuliyat badalti, khatam nahi hoti hai, badalti hai." Right? That your busyness, it changes, it doesn't end. Because as soon as school ends, then you have to catch up with everything else in your life, right? You haven't seen your kids for 5 months, and now you have to spend some time with them, and you have to fix the house, and then you have to catch up on all the reading that you hadn't done, So he said, after a certain point in your life, your busyness, its nature changes, but it doesn't end. So the ideal thing, especially when you're in youth, right, that time doesn't come again. When you're a student, that time doesn't come. You want to maximize the most of your time. You don't want to get ripped off, right? What does that mean, getting ripped off? Meaning that, you had a lot of time, right, or you paid a lot of your free time and you didn't get much in return. That's the ripoff. What did you pay? You paid your free time. Because free time is a commodity. It's something which is valuable. You're paying that, right? You're putting that forward. And what are you getting back? Nothing, right? You get an extra, you're getting some sleep, or you're getting some hanging out with your friends. That's all you got, and you're done, right? That's not a good deal. If you said, maybe I got 500 nafils out of it, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a palace for me in Jannah, then I say, subhanAllah, you got something out of your free time, Right? You got something out of your freedom. But if you just burn it, it will burn you. Many people say that, oh, you know, okay, that's fine, but I'm already too busy. I don't have any free time, right? So I can't get ripped off. You know, one time I was speaking to my sheikh, and I was telling him about, you know, it's so difficult to make it to five times salah. I think this was when I was in med school or something like that. So I said, you know, during the weekdays, it's so hard to make it for five times salah in the masjid, and, you know, you're on rotations, and how do you sneak out, and this and that. And he said one thing, he said, well, the weekend are yours, right? The weekends are yours. And then if you just, I just looked at my weekends and I said, well, that's true. I'm not there five times on the weekend. And this is the way shaitan gets you, because he makes you think that, oh, you're so busy, you don't have time to do anything. But just look at, if you look in your life and you look at those sectors or those moments where you did have free time, look what you did in that free time. The first time, I'll give you spring break. Right? Spring break. Spring break comes. As soon as spring break comes, oh, I worked so hard during the semester, I need to take it easy. Right? So you chose your comfort over the ibadah of Allah or the dhikr of Allah or going out in Allah's path. First time, you know, you get summer vacation, you say, oh, I have plenty of time. Right? And before you know it, summer vacation is done and you have nothing to show for it. Right? Except for a couple of hoops that you shot and maybe you crossed over someone and that's it. Right? And then the summer's over. It's done. So if you want to know, right, if, you know, a lot of people, they fall in this fallacy of thinking that, oh, if I had free time, I would do so much, right? If I had free time, I would do so much. Well, when you have free time, what do? Just look at that, and if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, let me tell you, even if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you 10 times that free time, you probably would not be doing that, right? Illa masha'Allah, except for what Allah wills. When you got the chance, capitalize, right? If you have, for example, 4 hours of downtime, sometimes actually people have this problem. They say, I have too much free time. How much can I pray? How much Quran can I read? Right? It's like, I have too much free time. What, you want me to read Quran the whole day? Well, yeah. If Allah gave you that much free time, then read Quran the whole day. Right? Then do dhikr the whole day. Our mashayikh, they would sit the whole day and do dhikr. Right? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put you in that circumstance and He gave you that much quote-unquote wealth of free time, then it's like someone saying that, oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you gave me $1 million. This is too much money. What am I going to do with it? Spend it. Right? Spend it. Someone will say that, what are you talking about, too much money? Go and buy a car. Go and buy a house. Go and buy this. Go and buy our money. Go and do... I mean, they're like, what do you mean you have too much money? In the same way, this is a wealth. Free time is a wealth. And if you want to use it, then just spend freely. Right? Spend freely. Like my Mona Choksi, his family, I think they would read like half a Quran in a day. There's people literally who, you know, finish a khatam a day or something, you know. And so it's not like there's no precedent for that, right? And it's not literally, you know, recently we have people come through St. Louis who spent like, you know, 4 or 5 hours, or, you know, individuals who may spend 4 or 5 hours on end in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal, right? It's not. So when you have that farah, right, if you have too much free time, just don't waste it. So what is the take-home message? Don't get ripped off, right? When it comes to your health, right? When it comes to your health and when it comes to your free time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us abundant health. May He give us abundant free time and give us the hikmah to use it in a way that is pleasing to Him. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.